You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 30th, 2021, the other night, President Biden barely even gave lip service to what's happening at the border. Well, now some of his folks are coming forward and trying to say he said more than what you thought he said. That he indicated we're making tremendous progress. I didn't really hear that. But here's an example. White House communications director saying, you know, at one time around mid-March, there were something like 5,000 kids in some of these facilities. Now, this week, it's under 1,000. What'd they do with the kids? Oh, yeah. Oh, they put them on buses, planes, sent them elsewhere around the country. And take note of this. Hear this. They have found in Houston... In Houston, they have found something like 90 different illegals, 90 illegals inside one house in an area of Houston. Most of those inside the house, the 90, were male. In fact, less than half a dozen were female. Now, what else do you think was going on for those ladies who were in there, those women? And also an illegal alien has been arrested in Pennsylvania. A 31-year-old, according to police, murdered his ex-girlfriend in front of her 7-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son. We've got House Republicans asking, what kind of political interference games did you guys play in the final census numbers? See, the census numbers determine how many House members each state would get. We've seen some preliminary numbers that indicates Texas will gain 2 House seats. New York and California will lose 1, maybe 2. But there are other states, left-leaning states, that we thought were going to be losing. But now suddenly a reevaluation that they may not lose. And in fact, red states might lose more. So Republicans are saying, stop it right now. Let's take a closer look at this. Rudy Giuliani on Tucker Carlson last night. For his first interview since the FBI raided his Manhattan apartment the other morning, they handed a subpoena to take every electronic device that he had. They supposedly were trying to find out and prove if he violated the law by lobbying Ukraine officials on behalf of the Trump administration. He said, I can take all this. I've had this for years if I want to destroy. Oh, now I've got some others you're not taking. How about these? They said, what's that? Said, well, these are some of the drives of the Hunter Biden laptop. No, we don't want those. But you're supposed to take everything. No, we don't want that one. You think there's something going on? Well, of course there is. Oh, and don't forget John Kerry. He is a special presidential envoy for climate change. You know, the one that flies around his private jet and tells you that you don't need to even have a gas car and is willing to shut down oil companies left and right. Biden promising we're going to give you a better job. Riddle me this. How many of the thousands who lost their jobs directly associated with the Keystone Pipeline, XL Pipeline, and related industries that got chopped when Biden got into office and signed a statement to, by executive order killing it, how many of them have gotten those same high-paying jobs? Oh, I see. You're going to kill the jobs first, and then is the other job becoming? If you live that long, we'll go get you one. Well, turns out John Kerry has been investing heavily in oil and gas. He's got total investments of $4.5 to $15 million dealing with the oil and gas. He's working both sides of the fence. National Park Service looking for volunteers to assist killing hundreds of bison in Arizona's Grand National Park. They say there are too many. It's getting bad for the system. It's going to be bad for them because we'll have disease spread through the herd, so they're now looking for volunteers that are professionals in killing bison. Well, I don't know if anybody's been professional in killing bison since the Indians were doing it. I don't know what they're going to do about that. Oh, the Jeopardy winner, Kelly Donahue, he's being condemned for apparently making a white supremacy sign. He had finished winning his third event on Jeopardy. When he won the first one, he held up one finger. Second time, he held up two fingers. This time, he won his third, and he held up three. And they say, that's a white power signal. Uh-oh, somebody's got to get to Queen Elizabeth. She helped make sure that a company in the UK got a prestigious business award. The company they're honoring, Love Honey, is a sex toy company. Does she know? Oh, maybe the Queen does know.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Heat Bat Production. He got walrus gumboot. He got, no sideboard. He want spinal cracker. He got feet down below his knee. Hold you in his arm, Jay. You can feel his disease. Come together.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I wish the Democrats, who always feign or virtue signal, would take a look in the mirror and ask themselves, would they put up with that from anyone other than themselves? And if you won't police yourselves, don't look to the other side. In my opinion, what they're fueling is a backlash. Maybe they don't realize it or not, but at some point people get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they start reacting as opposed to responding to the criticism and the negativity.
That is Senator Tim Scott, South Carolina, Republican, black Republican, serving in South Carolina. And he absolutely enrages everyone on the left every time he talks and speaks about the greatness of this country and the greatness of the GOP, and even Trump. Because, again, a black man shouldn't be saying that in their attitude. Just shouldn't do it. And, of course, the other night, Senator Tim Scott was tapped to give a retort to President Biden's address to the joint session of Congress. Wasn't really, I don't know, maybe it's supposed to be a State of the Union speech. It didn't sound like anything like that. But, of course, also keep in mind, Nancy Pelosi said we're only going to allow 200 in the chamber to even watch this. They can often hold 1,000 plus. That's why whenever there is a joint session of Congress, it's always in the House and the Senate goes over. And even Chief Justices, all Supreme Court justices come in and various cabinet members and so forth. But she only wanted 200, so others had to watch in parking lots wherever a large screen was put up, and they could honk their horns and do things like that. And then the GOP response delivered by Senator Tim Scott. I'm going to let you hear in a few moments as to why he's still defending some of the stuff he said the other night, because he was basically saying that we need to look past color. That was his main point. We just need to stop some of this stuff. And at the same time he's doing that and praising Republican efforts and saying, you know, we're not doing it right because we're not handling the border right, so many other things. Well, then on Twitter, they started calling him Uncle Tim. Now, of course, we all know what they wanted to say, Uncle Tom. That is a derogatory term to be used to any black, if that's what you're trying to do. But since his name is Tim, they just said Uncle Tim. And it went up on Twitter, and Twitter, they knew what it was and what it meant, but they allowed it to stay up there for a long time. They just let it sit there. They weren't doing anything to bring it down, to pull it off and say that violates our standards. Hours later, they finally began to admit, okay, we'll take it off. Well, by then they let it run for hours. You try to put up any trend that they don't like, it will come down immediately. And Tim Scott says, you know, what they're doing, basically, what they were doing then, they're attacking my color. He said, hey, can you, that's the point. He said, you have to keep in mind these progressives, these Democrats who want to tell you we need to be inclusive and too many people of color are not being included and they're not being treated right and with the respect they are deserving, they're not giving it to him. They're not going to give it to him because he's a black man who's speaking conservative views. And he's not the only one, obviously. But he became the target the other night. The Washington Post, Glenn Kessler, ended up writing a hit piece, as Tim Scott describes it, against him and his family heritage. He said, I've experienced a different kind of intolerance. I get called Uncle Tom. I get called the N-word by progressives, by liberals. A national newspaper suggested my family's poverty was actually privileged because a relative owned land generations before my time. In other words, oh, see, you were privileged. You were privileged too. Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott says, what's coming is going to be another battle. He's not calling it a civil war, but he said there's going to be a reckoning still to come.
The next several months, if not the next 2 years of my life, will be standing in the gap for what we know as traditional American values. We love people, not parties. We love the content, not the color. Our nation stands in greatness because we fought back against those darker angels, and we believed, frankly, in the better angels.
Well, that sounds where we all should be, isn't it? But what is the state-controlled media doing? In addition to what the story I told you about a moment ago with the Washington Post, that they're mocking him, saying he's privileged because when you go back into his history, someone generations before he was born owned some land at some point. He also, by the way, was doing a review of what the writer Kessler had written, that he spent something like 30 paragraphs analyzing census documents, other records, trying to counteract Scott's claims that his grandfather left elementary school to pick cotton and never learned to read or write. He was trying to undermine that story. And Senator Tim Scott said the writer framed the article to suggest that I had that privileged heritage because we had some land, but he couldn't really prove anything. And in fact, Senator Tim Scott said, I remember when I was younger, my granddad, at the morning coffee table or breakfast, would pick up the newspaper and open it. And he said, I only found out years later he was just trying to set a good example that he didn't know how to read. But what we have right now is progressives. Progressives labeling anyone they don't like and pulling the race card, even if you are black. Here's the way Senator Tim Scott says it is happening, and there is a backlash coming.
What the left is doing is fighting bigotry with bigotry, and they've exposed their hypocrisy, and their true motivation has nothing to do with ending prejudice. It has everything to do with claiming or getting more power. There's a coming backlash to this liberal oppression that is becoming front and center, and they're not even hiding their hands anymore, Sean. That's why it's so important that we stand in the gap for this nation.
That is, again, Senator Tim Scott, as he appeared on Sean Hannity. He said there will be a backlash to this liberal oppression. But he also said, and he's clear, they're not hiding their hands anymore. They made it very clear what they want to do. Let me give you still another example. In Mississippi, BC, had a panel of professors. A panel of left-wing university professors on their network defending the use of the slur Uncle Tim to describe Senator Tim Scott. And one suggested, Tim Scott doesn't know what racism is. He doesn't know what racism is. And you know, part of that was because Scott had said in his remarks the other night following President Biden, America is not a racist country. And he actually got support from someone that probably said a lot of the left back on their heels a little bit. Oh, my God, she didn't say that, did she? Well, she kind of worked her way out of it. That was Vice President Kamala Harris. I would have just said Kamala, but my daughter's already told me, Dad, that doesn't sound appropriate. Just call her by her first name. Said, okay, I agree. I will call her Vice President Kamala Harris. But you do know, folks, she does not want to be called Vice President. You do know that, don't you? She just wants to be called President. Anyway, she acknowledged that, yes, racism in this nation is not systemic. She admitted that. But she said we have problems, we need to deal with it. I would agree with that. But the very fact she got that close to what Tim Scott said, the senator from South Carolina, we said it's not a racist country, and talked about all the things that he, his family, and others have been able to achieve because of this country. And again, the hypocrisy that exists on the left.
The truth of the matter is the hypocrisy needs to stop. I am a black man. I am proud to be black. I happen to be a conservative because I came to the conclusion a long time ago that conservative policies and principles is the way that we set people free. Free to be whoever they want to be. You actually are free to disagree with me. That's the beauty of America. And what the Democrats are selling is that you are not free to be yourself. You cannot disagree with the Democrats. You can't disagree with progressives and liberals.
Because they want to keep you on the plantation. They don't want you to be thinking for yourself. That they basically want the public to believe that black men and women are not capable of figuring out how to go get a voter ID if they have to get one. That is as severe and crushing as the Jim Crow laws were, that you're going to suggest that they're not in. That is a blanket indictment. It's humiliating them, and it's absolutely destroying what all Americans hope to achieve, and especially those who have had it tougher. And yes, minorities have had it tougher, and not just black Americans, Jewish Americans, Polish Americans, Asian Americans. But again, the progressives at this point, they just don't seem to have a problem with that Uncle Tim thing. And, of course, the other reason they really don't like Scott is because he's pointing to the great things that happened under Donald Trump.
As I keep coming to the conclusion that we got it right. The most inclusive economy, frankly, in American history. The last administration, President Trump, we created 7 million jobs, with two-thirds going to African-Americans and Hispanics and women. We saw the lowest unemployment rate. We didn't care whether you were black or white. We looked for ways to expand opportunities and give people options to make their own decisions. That's what America's about. And sure, we've had some challenges, but we keep rising to the occasion. We confront the person in the mirror, which allows us to move over. But the left, Sean, the left refuses to do that. The left wants to find a fall guy. They want to find a scapegoat. As opposed to helping build a better America, what they want to do is spend $6 trillion. Where are we going to get it from? They don't care. To do what? To make sure that they have a permanent underclass, people they think they can control.
In other words, keep them in their place. That's racist. And to that extent, national Democrats have not one of them come forward and stood with Senator Tim Scott and said, this is a U.S. senator. You don't call him Uncle Tim. Black Lives Matter, NAACP, have said nothing about it. Coming up, cops under judgment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, in the wake of the Derek Chauvin trial, convicted on all three charges, just as Congresswoman Maxine Waters insisted while she was in the streets that Sunday evening before the closing arguments were presented to the jury. Guilty, guilty, guilty. That's what he came back with. There are those who said, well, of course he's found guilty because he is guilty on each and every charge. And others saying, well, he might be guilty on one of them, but not all three. And others are saying he never had a fair trial because it shouldn't have been held in that venue. The jury was never sequestered and all the noise that was going on out there. And yes, one of the jurors admitting, an alternate, I should say, admitting, yeah, there was concern that will we be targeted if we don't come back with what the mob in the street wanted? Are we at a point in this nation that we're going to be doing and judging people by what the mob wants? What if it's next time the mob in the street wants somebody who is totally innocent and they happen to be a person of, quote, color or a minority, and the mob says, well, no, they got to pay their price too. We know about the lynchings that took place, of course, across the South, how the Klan. No trial, obviously. In fact, they did it for just because they could. And then, of course, across the West, somebody suspected of horse rustling, they were hung from the nearest tree they could find. That was a trial. That was it. We tried to move past that. And, of course, the question is, are we going to go back to just simply deciding by mob rather than a jury by mob, we're going to decide what the verdict will be? And if you're picked to serve on a jury like that, and it doesn't seem maybe it's a case that's not that big of a deal when it starts, but then suddenly it all gets involved because now you got a mob in the street, whatever the issue is, decrying that the verdict should be this or else, what are you going to do? There was no violence in Minneapolis when that verdict came back. No homes were attacked. None of the jurors threatened, and no evidence they ever were. But those are going to be grounds for appeal. And Derek Chauvin when he goes to appeal, could end up getting one, two, maybe all three charges, if not reversed, at least sent back for review. That's not going to be a pretty situation. We have to have justice. We have to have law and order. We had the case the other day, of course, in Columbus, Ohio, April 20. 911 call comes in. There's a person out here with a knife trying to kill people and stab us. An officer, 16 months on the force, but with prior military background, Nicholas Reardon, was the first to reach the scene. When he gets there, out in front of the one of the houses, address of what they were given, there are several people gathered, men and women, all black. He's a white officer. He sees them shoving each other around. He sees this one girl shove a girl down, and the girl grabs her stomach. He doesn't know what that's about. He's just hollering, hey, 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 cut it, cut it. And then he sees that the girl who did the shoving has a knife. And I don't mean a small pen knife. She has something just short of a butcher knife. It's a pretty good-sized knife. And she's raising it against another woman, black woman, that she's got between her and the van. The girl can't get away. And he's shouting as he pulls his pistol, down, 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 words to that effect. She either didn't hear it or ignored it. He thought, if I don't do something, the girl's going to be killed. So he shoots and kills. He kills a black girl, but saves another black girl. That gets us to our next segment. You're going to be listening when we come back to an interview, I should say a debate on the Breakfast Club involving radio host DJ Envy, who's one of those, and also Charlemagne the God. Charlemagne the God thinks he also should not have done the shooting. DJ Envy says, I think he did exactly what he needed to. You'll want to hear this.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
Well, I started out with one lone dollar, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys, gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Fatal force cannot be the only option when it comes to dealing with black people. There's a million videos you can see of black people complying. Black people laying on the ground in handcuffs. Black people, like, in a situation like Michaela Bryant. The Latino boy from last week in Chicago. It's fatal force every single time. There's got to be another way to deal with us.
You can say that a million and one times, but every case is different. And in this case, mm-mm, if I pull up to a scene and see a girl chasing mm-mm another girl about to stab a girl, my job as a police officer is to make sure that girl does not get killed.
Absolutely.
The law allows me to stop that killing or that stabbing any means necessary. That's what that law allows me to do.
Once again,
and on both sides, if my daughter was about to get stabbed, I would want that person taken down,
yes,
shot, or anything by any means necessary. And that's what a cop's job is to do, to protect and to serve.
And they don't do that.
That cop protected that young girl.
The one standing up for the police officers is DJ Envy, Rashawn Casey, real name, as one of the hosts of the Breakfast Club program in New York. He's getting a lot of heated backlash because of those comments. The one he's arguing against is Charlemagne the God, who continues to say that police have got to use something other than deadly force. His, as you heard him say, every time it involves a black person, they use deadly force. And yet he contradicts himself because he said that you see video of millions of black people that went ahead and let themselves be handcuffed. They got on the ground. So they didn't really get killed, did they? Because they were obeying the instruction and that they were getting from police at the time. And he's also saying that the Columbus police officer, Nicholas Reardon, should not have fired and killed Makia Bryant. Let's stop here for just a second. This Makia Bryant, 16 years of age, a foster child, I don't know the full background of her family. I haven't looked at all of it, but she was apparently in a foster custody at that time. I doubt the child was getting all the, let's say, attention, direction she might have needed. Now, I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying you pass people in the street or on the road on a regular basis, you have no idea what they're dealing with. And at some point, it just may go over the top. There'd been her, one of her relatives who apparently was kind of watching over her, said that she's the one who actually called police. And then she's out when the officer arrives. She's the one out there with a knife. No one else. That's the only knife he saw. There were no, quote, adults older than 20, 22. I think one of the other women, the one apparently she shoved down to begin with was 22. The one she's got pinned up against the van is 20. And supposedly it all started because those two girls had also been foster kids at this same house and said, you know, you got to clean your room and take better care of it. And that little thing just became the spark that led to the tragedy of her death. And a tragedy for the officer as well. I mean, Nicholas Reardon did sign up to serve and protect. He didn't sign up to go kill a 16-year-old, black, white, yellow, or anything else. But what he saw unfolding in front of him was that if he did not act, if he didn't stop it then, because despite him shouting several times for her to get down, and either she didn't hear, was ignoring it, still raising the knife and about to stab it into the other woman, the other girl, 19, I think, woman, I'll call woman. That's what he thought he had to do. So there you have DJ Envy saying he did what he had to, while arguing with Charlemagne Le God. And, of course, the God. And, of course, it also comes into an argument of, well, what if it had been your daughter, the one that's up against a van that's about to be stabbed? Then what do you want done? You want the one with the knife stopped. Of course you do. Yeah, I give all kinds of credit to DJ Envy for saying the officer did what he thought he had to at the time. And he also later in an interview with Page Six of New York said, the whole situation is tragic. It's sad that the system failed that young lady. The fact that she's out there fighting at 16 with a grown woman. Like I said, the other one I think was 19 or 20. The fact that the older man seen in the video, and the yes, that was also seen, I pointed out the other day, in the video would rather kick the girl that's on the ground, the one Makia had shoved down, kicked at her, and joined the fight instead of stopping the fight. He said all these things come together and the system failed that girl, and it is sad. And, of course, then was there another option? Could something else have been done at that moment, at that time? So let's pick up the conversation and the argument going back and forth between DJ Envy defending the police and what he had to do at that time, with his co-host, Charlamagne the God.
That cop protected that young girl. Now, we could talk about every case and talk about, well, what about this case? What about that case? But you can't, you got to talk case by case.
Well, let me ask you a question.
All those other cases might have been wrong, but in this case, that cop made a split decision to say, you know what, I'm saving this girl's life.
Do you really think that cop cared about that girl in the pink? Because if he cared about that girl in the pink, why would you shoot four times? She was right there. She could have got hit, too. You really think he cared about that girl in the pink that much? If he cared so much, why didn't he look sad after it was over? Why did he say Blue Lives Matter after it was over? If he was such a good cop, like you say, and he was just there to save lives, why was there no remorse?
Can move the goalpost on every time
we talk about the story.
But now it's like, did he shoot right or shoot wrong? Okay, well, no. If he shot right, then how come he looked sad after? Well, how come after he didn't tie his shoes? Like, we can move the goalpost in every situation. But in that situation, that cop possibly saved that girl's life.
He did save her life. But once again, just because something is legally justified doesn't mean it's right. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't have intervened.
You just said he saved the girl's life.
What are you talking about?
You just said he possibly saved that girl's life.
Yeah, absolutely. But once again, just because something is legally justified doesn't mean that it's right.
I'm having a hard time following that thinking from Charlamagne the God. Legally justified for him to put an end to it, but it wasn't right. Is that how we're going to judge cops going forward? Yeah, the law says you can. They're coming at you with a knife or someone else. Call your superior and have your superior say, she's got a knife. She's getting ready. Well, she's already stabbed her. Now, what do I do now? I mean, you think you could get anything done on the streets and your family could be protected? Let's go back to that day and you're going to hear the officer arrive and you can hear the tussling and noise going on. And this whole clip takes less than 11 seconds. Now, you can second guess now, but you put yourself in that officer's shoes as he arrives. He doesn't know what he's walked into. All he heard was, we've got to respond to disturbance. There might be a knife involved. He doesn't see the knife in the beginning. Here he goes.
Hey. What's going on? Hey, what's going on? Hey, get down.
And that was it. That fast. And to his credit, DJ Envy was saying he did what he had to at that point. But Charlamagne the God is saying, no, he didn't have to do that. He had other things. He could have done something else. Grab a taser or something. And he said, and do you think he really wanted to save the other girl's life? What kind of question is that? Did you think he wanted to save the other girl's life? That's exactly what he was doing. And again, I want to give credit to DJ Envy because he's saying, you're moving the goalpost. What, then because he didn't tie his shoes right? Let's go back to this discussion between the two. Pretty good debate. And everybody's entitled to an opinion, all right? I never say just because your opinion is different than mine that yours, well, I might say it's not as good as mine, but you're still entitled to it. But both of these guys are hosts on this program, The Breakfast Club in New York City, and they are on opposite sides on this particular shooting. I'm not saying all the time, but this shooting. In other words, the facts of this case.
You just said he saved the girl's life.
What are you talking about?
You just said he possibly saved that girl's life.
Yeah, absolutely. But once again, just because something is legally justified doesn't mean that it's right. Just because he could have intervened without killing that girl. I truly believe that. He could have intervened without killing that young lady. He could have intervened and protected that woman without killing that young lady. I watched the video of a white man getting stabbed in the neck.
See, we're talking about another case.
It's common sense. A cop gets stabbed in the neck by a white man. Chased the white guy with a gun, then put his gun away and then pulled out his taser to tase the kid.
That's another case, right? And he had time. He got stabbed. That guy didn't have that much time. That guy didn't have time to put his gun away and then take out a taser. By that time, that other girl probably would have got stabbed and been dead.
If you don't think that they deal with us differently than they do everybody else.
Of course they do, but each case is differently, and this case is a different case. That case is not the same as the one that you're talking
about. Show me a case where they haven't used fatal force.
Well, again, that is the statement from Charlamagne the God. Show me a case where they didn't use lethal force. And yet he'd previously said there are millions of cases where the suspect complies, gets on the ground, gets handcuffed. They don't use lethal force every time. It defeats your own argument. I don't know the case that he's referring to about the officer being stabbed in the neck and what happened, but as DJ Envy said, that's a different case. Deal with the facts of this case. And above and beyond that, what about the officers on the streets out there? Who's crying for them when they're the victim?
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Let's deal with one thing that came out of that conversation. As you heard Charlemagne the God saying that, you know, police are always killing black people, and yet also saying that, well, there are many cases, and he admitted that they are handcuffed and taken to jail. They're not killed. You do hear, and the numbers stand correct, that, you know, more whites are killed than minorities. But there's an underlying factor there that sometimes folks won't overlook, and yet it's also a justifiable issue on behalf of those who are trying to point that out. So I, if you're going to be fair about this, you have to look at it totally fair, my friend. I don't care what your view is. Let's deal with the actual facts. I'm looking at a piece by a Statista Research Department that said those shot to death by U.S. police by race from 2017 to 2021. 213 civilians being shot, 213. That's in the first 3 months of 2021. 30 were black. So you said, well, see, they're not just killing blacks, they're killing others as well. Well, the other point of that, the other part of it that you have to keep in mind, black Americans. And the death and the rate of police shootings at the hands of police is higher than any other ethnicity, 35 fatal shootings per million. Now, the next part of the equation is, what were they doing that they were shot? Were they trying to kill the officer, or had they already killed someone else, or were they getting ready to kill someone else, or did the officer just become a cowboy and shoot them down for no reason at all? All of those have to be examined. It is a case-by-case basis. You cannot indict officers in general, nor can or should you indict minorities in general because it happened in a case you know. It doesn't mean anything. That's the case you know. And then against that backdrop, in the first 2 months of this year, according to the National Fraternal Order of Police, the first 2 months, it'd be January and February, and there are more since then, some just over the last few days, 45 law officers shot in the line of duty, a dozen killed. Some of them, at least 10 different ambush attacks. One of those happened the other day in North Carolina. Before we get to that, you got a shooting at a Colorado supermarket. Do you recall that one that happened not too long ago, Boulder, Colorado area? A police officer arrives trying to do what he can to find the shooter and stop it, and he gets cut down before he has a chance. The officer's father later said, "My son took his job as a police officer seriously. He had 7 children, the youngest 7 years old. He loved his kids, family more than anything. He joined the force at the age 40, and then was looking for a job to get off the front lines. He did not want to put his family through something like this. He believed in Jesus Christ." That was in Boulder, Colorado. The one the other day in North Carolina. And this is where you hear the progressives say, well, we don't need guns at every scene. And maybe officers shouldn't carry their gun up to a car during a traffic stop. Then why don't you go out there and try make some of these stops and see what happens? Also got killed the other day in Mexico like that. Just walking up, makes his contact with the driver, walking on the back, and he's shot in the head. North Carolina ended up being a 13-hour standoff, but when police went out there, all they were doing was doing what is called a welfare check. Someone had said they tried to call and check on the woman who lived there, and they weren't getting any answer. They called 911, said, I know there's a problem. You know, they've had troubles out there before. So two officers go to do a welfare check. Oh, now, is that where you're going to send social security workers? I mean, it's a welfare check. There's no report of violence or anything like that. Sure. Find an 18, 19-year-old that's an intern on a social security work group working with a 22 or 23-year-old who has a degree in it. They're going to go out and make this stop. They're going to go out and check on this person. Now, maybe it would not have gone down as it did with the police, but you never know, do you? The two officers get there. They cannot get anyone to come to the door, but they see the cars are there. The door is open. They walk in announcing themselves and immediately hit with gunfire. Both of them dropped at the scene. A third officer was able to grab, pull one of them out, but couldn't get the other out till well after it was over with. A firefighter, a paramedic arrived, a state police officer, they also came under fire. And as one officer said, we didn't expect to walk into that. Well, of course they don't. They had to be ready. And you want to send social workers in? I'm all for your compassion and desire. What can I do to help people? And most officers, they're not in it for the running and gunning. They're there to serve their community. Many black officers want to be assigned to the community where they grew up. Said, I know the people. I can help put an end to drugs and everything else. Say their name. Say their name. Put their name on jerseys of all these officers cut down like that. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.